Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon. It's 60 Minutes all about the great game of hockey and a little more spring in our steps today here at Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kind of do that when your team that you cover all the time gets into the playoffs. They win this qualifying round against the Jets. It was awesome last night. Let's talk about it. Let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
I will say that he's brought our group way closer together, I feel like. And he's just a guy who demands respect. He's been there. He's won before, so his words carry a lot of weight. For him to come in and change our D zone and sort of tighten it up. And if you look at the results, I believe we're a better defensive team today than we were before the break. So credit to him for having the guts to make that change, and to our guys for buying in.
There you go. There's Mark Giordano. How about that? Lou?
How about that?
There's a million ways we can go with this, but I thought that was a great way to sum things up. Your thoughts on the captain's comments there?
Well, I want to talk about the theme of really our coverage on this particular hit every day at noon. And it's been one thing. To get different, you need to do different. And that was the selling point for Jeff Ward, the coaching staff, and the Calgary Flames. Have they learned from lessons in the past? Have they learned from things that didn't go the way they wanted to? Kelly, isn't it always about buying and selling in everything that you do, in every relationship, in trying to get the best out of people? I want to revisit with you quickly, because I think it's really important. What's number 9 again on the board in your office?
It's the part about, essentially a Bobby Knight quote, that everybody wants to win. That's obvious. But not everybody is prepared to do the work to win.
Guess who was prepared to do it different and do the work to win this series?
They must have
Calgary Flames.
Yeah, they must have saw my office or something, because they took it to heart.
They did take it to heart. And let's not kid anybody. This group, this core group, in a lot of ways has been a hard sell, don't you think? We've seen a lot of the same patterns with this group repeat themselves. But until we have in life more experience, it can be harder to do better. But I always take it one step farther. And that is, you can hear it, you can think it, but until you truly buy in to the people leading the way, and that can be a tug of war for all of us, then chances are you're not going to do different. The Calgary Flames were prepared to do different, and last night was a perfect example, because, Kelly, we didn't know what to expect, did we?
We did not. We heard the right things. We heard the right things.
How come we didn't know what to expect?
Well, because of the past history, right?
Right, because of past history.
What else are we supposed to go on?
That's all you can go on. So we don't think different until we see different, because somebody does different. And I think the key to last night, and I'm not a big guy in terms of fighting, but 2 seconds in, the Calgary Flames' most experienced playoff performer is Milan Lucic. Milan Lucic has a history of being at his best and making a difference when it matters the most. You'll never stop hearing me say this as long as I have a forum. That matters.
It does.
And it matters a lot. So if you are a coach and you're Jeff Ward, who is the one guy that you truly have been in the battles with, who you have won with, who you have lost with, who you probably trust more than anybody else in your leadership group to hand the keys to the car?
It's Milan, right?
Milan Lucic. And what did he do 2 seconds in?
Big
scrap. He understands this group. He gets it. He knows that at times being engaged, sometimes even early, can be a problem. So he said, somebody's calling me out, I'm going. Because I realize in this moment, I need to set the way for everybody else. And what happened? That's exactly what occurred. It was, Kelly, as complete a big game performance out of the Calgary Flames that I have ever witnessed as one of their broadcasters. And it started right there, and it started because, not just because of that, but the way the Sam Bennett line with Lucic and Dubé, they set the script. They dictated to the Winnipeg Jets. They were physical. They were hard on the body. They made the Winnipeg Jets in this series pay a price. Would you also concur, Kelly, that a hard team to play against hasn't always been the moniker of this group?
No, it's been the opposite sometimes, where the other teams will get physical and wear the Flames down. The script was flipped yesterday, and I thought, you know, after that fight, and there was kind of this cause-effect thing. First of all, it deflated the Jets, you could tell, because their guy got pummeled. Then the Flames obviously had to change the lines up a little bit because Milan had to go into the penalty box. They put Sean on that line. He was digging like, that is the best playoff game he has played since he's come here. Has to be, right?
Absolutely no question. And how come? Well, one of the reasons is because he believes that he can do it, and he knows he can do it. And Jeff Ward knows he can do it. So in life, what do? We align ourselves with people that we believe in, and what allows us to believe? Because
success.
They can execute when it's difficult. And he led the way for this group in so many different ways, and the Flames were willing to do it different. Jeff Ward, the coaching staff, they made some wrinkles. You heard Mark Giordano refer to, he took some chances. He spent 4 months on digging in with this group defensively, challenging them. But I think what Jeff really was able to do with the help of his leadership group is he helped change the mindset. This team in the past, I think we'd all agree, well, maybe we don't, but I think they felt like they could rely on their skill. No. Every day in these playoffs, it's been about the work and the execution of your work. And here's Jeff Ward, just to reinforce how important to the process Milan Lucic has been.
I just trust him. I didn't know it was coming. But he's got a real strong feel for stuff like that. And I've seen it time and time again with him. You know, it's just when you need a big moment, he finds a way to supply a big moment. And tonight he supplied us with a big moment early, and we were able to just roll right in behind him.
There you go, Jeff Ward on Milan Lucic. It is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Flames will go to the playoffs and await their opponent in the best-of-seven first round as they dispatch the Winnipeg Jets. It's Kelly Kirsch, Peter Labardius, and Logan Gordon.
Peter, I think one of the biggest storylines heading into this series when we compared, you know, two pretty even squads were, you know, the fact that Winnipeg probably had the edge in goaltending because of Connor Hellebuck and the Vezina season that he had. And while I certainly don't think he was bad by any, you know, stretch of the imagination, Cam Talbot simply just outplayed him all series long and was a huge part of this Flames victory.
Jeff Ward referred to Cam Talbot this way. He said he was our best player in the series. So when you go into a series, and A, Logan, let's not forget, this is not an easy decision. You know who made it easy? Cam Talbot. With his experience and the work and coming to camp, and he gave the Calgary Flames no chance with not only the body of his work, but his work from the training camp and all that it required. He won the right. And when he won the right, he provided a 1.51, for those of you who like numbers, goals against average, and a 945 save percentage. In, as you referred to, a battle that looked going in like it was lopsided. Yeah, it was lopsided. And you know who it was lopsided for?
The Flames.
The Calgary Flames. And this, like the rest of the Flames, and granted, let's remember, they won a series. They haven't done anything yet in terms of real, true significance.
It gets harder, Lou? Is that what you're saying?
Well, life does get hard, Kelly. You know that. I know that. And so does playoffs. The farther you move, the harder it gets. But for Cam Talbot, like a lot of his teammates, this was also a bit of a story of redemption. He didn't have a very good year last year. He got traded. Didn't work out very well. He had to go to last summer and find a new job. And he settled on Calgary. And he came, and he had to be patient. But you know what never wavered? The work. The work. Who is he? He's a great teammate. He's 33 years of age. He's calm. He's poised. He's solid. And he was full of that and more for the Calgary Flames. One of the reasons, Kelly, you can buckle in and Logan on a defensive system, because you trust, there's that word again, you trust that guy between the pipes to do what? His job. And he did it better, way better in this series than Connor Hellebuyck. Granted, did the Winnipeg Jets find themselves incredibly devastated and shorthanded? Yes, can't forget that. But in focusing on the Calgary Flames, they did it better in every area of the game, including Cam Talbot, who after the game was quick to point out that he believed in himself and couldn't wait. And how appreciative, listen to this part in the clip, how appreciative he was to get the opportunity.
I knew that if I could come in and get back to playing my game and getting some confidence back, that, you know, I could prove that I can be a starting goaltender in this league again. And, you know, it was a huge confidence boost for me when the coaching staff and the guys, you know, had the confidence in me to go with me in game one. And I just trying to go out there and give us a chance to win and not let them down and make that decision look like a good one. So, you know, I got to thank them for giving me the opportunity, and I'm just trying to take and run with it for now.
Well, you can't run with it any better than Cam Talbot just did. And that's the great thing about being in a team. That's the great thing about being motivated. When someone shows you that they believe, oh my goodness, can you get a lot of great things out of people? But the other part of that is, I can believe in somebody else all they want or all I want. They have to be able to show me that I get to trust it and believe in it. And that's really what this team did in this series.
We're chatting with Pete Labardius right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The Flames win 4-0, and they are off to the big six, the Sweet 16, as it were. They are back in the playoffs here in 2020 as the bubble works out for them. They beat the Winnipeg Jets last night. Lou, there's just so many different ways we can go. We got the Lou's mailbag coming back. I'll tell you, it's going to be
great.
We're gonna finish that off with a bang today. So details on that coming up in just a little bit. But there's just so many things I want to ask you. And I know our time's tight here, but I want to ask you about Dylan Dubé and Sam Bennett. And just, my goodness, did they come to play last night?
Well, hasn't Sam Bennett shown us a bit of a history in terms of his ability to raise his level?
Yes.
In big games? You know, that's what's made Sam confusing for everyone. And I truly believe that in the playoffs, a couple things for him happened. And he was asked, even in training camp, his answer to it was, I get more opportunities in the playoffs. But you know why he gets more opportunities from his coaches in the playoffs?
He makes them do that, right? He earns it.
He makes them. He earns it. And he went out and was physical, and he went through people, and he can skate, and he made some plays, and he defended well. He was a wrecking ball. But even there was learning for him in the series, Kelly, because when you play that way, Sam walks a fine line. And Sam has been known, and he did it in this series early. He took some undisciplined penalties. But did anybody in the Calgary Flames take undisciplined penalties in the last few games?
Yeah, there's nope. A few, yeah. You know?
That's learning.
Yeah.
And he was at his absolute best. I thought he was their best player last night on another night where there were not a lot of passengers. In fact, I don't really think there were any passengers. And as for Dylan Dubé, well, am I surprised? No. Because you've talked about history. Well, what do I know about Dylan Dubé? Well, I've been watching him since he was 14 years old. I watched him as a rookie help Kelowna win a Western Hockey League championship. And at 16 in the Western Hockey League, it's hard to play a role. But he did. Then I watched him for two games with my own two eyes that spring in Quebec City at the Memorial Cup, where, again, on a team with the likes of Leon Draisaitl and Josh Morrissey, just to name a couple, guess who didn't look out of place there?
Yeah.
Dylan Dubé. Two World Junior Championships. Played two different roles. He was the captain in year two. Year one, he was a great checker, part of a very reliable line, went out and skated and made things happen and contributed. The next year, they put the C on him. Who scored a goal in the gold medal game? Dylan Dubé. After a while, Kelly, I've come to learn it's not an accident. And that stage is not for everybody. But Dylan Dubé, for me, and it's, again, one game, but when you start to demonstrate, a lot like Milan Lucic, who demonstrated it to me at the very same age, that you can find your way when the waters are the choppiest, I don't think in sports or in life, that's an accident. And that's Dylan Dubé. So, frankly, I've kind of been waiting for it. I saw a player who, more than ever, more than any other player on the Flames to me, looked like he was ready to take a step. I had full confidence in that type of unique situation for a team that they'd only been in a couple of closing clincher opportunities in recent memory. I wasn't all that concerned about Dylan Dubé despite his playoff inexperience in the NHL.
Okay, we're just about run out of time, but it's back. We talked about it. We teased it. It's Lou's mailbag. We love this. And I went in the back and saw your mailbag just piling up with questions. Like, Lou, it was crazy. I guess, you know, it's been a while since we've checked it. So we thought we'd dig it out. Our great partners at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse have got a $100 gift card to someone who writes in a question. If we answer it for you on a Friday, you are going to win. And it's an awesome experience there. And today's question comes from Mike Ostrzynski. And his question is, it's kind of timely because this would be a perfect question. Which depth forward do you anticipate the Flames using first as they go forward in the playoffs and presumably lose a forward or two to injury? Would Zarnik be given that first look? Austin Zarnik, Lou.
Well, I love the question. Frankly, it would be easier to answer if I was in Edmonton and had the same kind of opportunity that I normally do, where I'm watching the team go about its business with my own two eyes every day. I think this isn't an easy answer, Kelly, because when you make those kind of decisions, it's not necessarily who's the best guy. It's always who's the best guy to fit what you need.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to boil down to. And the other thing it's going to boil down to is everyday people like Zarnik, Alan Quine, Zach Rinaldo now, who started the series but gave way to Mark Jankowski, are evaluated on their work, on their practices, because they're not playing in games. So between the combination of the fit that you need for your team and who is showing you with their work that they're not, you know, upset and they're handling the adversity, I think gives you confidence that they will be the person to put in. I can't give you a specific answer, unfortunately, because in the COVID covering of hockey scenario that I'm in, I don't get to see those things on a day-to-day basis like I normally would. But I love the question.
Yeah, I think it is kind of on a case-by-case basis, and that's why that's why Jankowski was probably, you know, the most reasonable replacement for Zach Rinaldo, just with his size and his penalty killing and that sort of thing.
That's exactly what it boiled down to. Remember, when Mark entered the series, the team had been shorthanded 13 times in the first two games, which paved the way for Derek Ryan and Tobias Reeder to make a huge impact early in the series, because, you know, we didn't even get there yet today. But specialty teams, which really goaltending and specialty teams, and then your top players contributing and being at their best, those are usually, Kelly, the three check marks that you need to win in the playoffs. Well, big check marks for the Flames in all of it. But in making that Jankowski decision, I believe the coaching staff went, well, we've been undisciplined, which, frankly, Zach Rinaldo can be guilty of, and we don't even really get a chance to use him very much for his energy and what he does best because we're in the penalty box too much. So if this trend continues, we have to set ourselves up until we handle that situation. You know how we've talked about handling the moments? Well, they started to handle the moments better, and it meant more five-on-five time for, if you want to call it, the fourth line. I'd refer to it as the Derek Ryan line. And guess which line Jeff Ward pointed to right after the Bennett line last night was the best?
Yeah, well, exactly.
That line.
Yeah.
So that's why coaches make those kind of decisions. It's never as simple as it seems from the outside, because they have all the intel. They think, if you think I'm a thinker on this program, well, A, that's what they do for a living, and they've thought about 19 things before most of us can get to two.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, there you go. That's the mailbag from Lou. You can write into Peter Labardius every Friday. All you got to do is go to our website, sportsnet.ca/960. Go to contest. Look for the entry area there. Put all your questions and name and phone number and all that kind of stuff. And if we use your question, you're going to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with a $100 gift card, just like that. So that is very cool to have them back. Lou, we're not going to see each other tomorrow. That's kind of cool because I was thinking that I might have to work on Saturday, but... That is a no go, and I think that's okay. We will figure out next week, sometime this weekend, right?
On the topic of Taskmaster, well, Mr. Kirsch now gets to try and put together another great plan. But I guarantee you're happy as all get out to have that kind of plan to figure out. And if I can just quickly, a thank you to Tim Collins and everybody at Roos Chris. Trust me, they will take care of you. Incredible food, great experience. Have developed, a relationship in part with Tim and really enjoy him. And Tim likes the Flames, but I'll tell you who he loves. He loves the Toronto Maple Leafs. And one of the reasons Tim and I hit it off is because in our first conversation when our great sales rep, Leon Tanzi, made it all happen, I found out how all in Tim was on hockey and the Leafs. So So Tim will have a few. He better not eat some of his great cooking today before the Leafs game starts, because I can bet that tummy's kind of circling around a little bit right about now.
And Tim, I'll give you a little tip. Coming up on Tuesday, about 7 o'clock, a former Maple Leaf that will blow you away. Going to be on Boomer in the Morning. So there, a little foreshadowing for you crazy Leaf fans. That's coming up. All right, Lou. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk Monday.
Okay. Have a great one, everybody. Enjoy the win. It's been a while.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Rolling along on Hockey Central at noon, Kelly Kirsch and Logan Gordon. We've got Eric Francis Fridays coming up in just a little bit. Want to tell you that we've got to, you know, I forgot about the Toronto Blue Jays. They're still going strong. They play tonight. We might have the game tomorrow. We might not, depending on what happens with hockey. But we are going to have our listener panel. It's a virtual hot stove town hall with Ryan Pinder, Ben Wagner, and Mike Wilner. This is awesome. We're going to kind of have a giant Zoom call and talk Blue Jays for an hour, and you can talk with those two guys. If they don't know it, you don't need to know it. And we're going to have some fun, too, because Wild Rose is coming on board, so everybody that gets on the old Zoom call with the Blue Jays crew gets a Wild Rose prize pack. Wild Rose Brewery has been fueling hardworking Albertans since 1996. Find their premium craft beers around Alberta and at their tap room and restaurant located in Currie Barracks. Let's talk to Francis next right here on Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch and Logan Gordon. Time now for Eric Francis Fridays, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination. Own one, and you'll understand. Hyatt Infinity on Luxury Lane. Empower the drive. And Eric Francis joins us. Are you in Sylvan Lake? Or are you still in Edmonton? What's happening with you?
I am in Edmonton, my friend, and I will be glued to the action today, because there are some pretty delicious storylines going on in the National Hockey League,
yeah,
I'll tell you that.
They absolutely are, and looking forward to all of it. It's just a really fun Friday. I was thinking about you earlier today, talking with our old friend Matt O'Neill. I was thinking how many stories, how many times on the radio and times on television where you had to kind of talk about the story where the Flames didn't come through. They had a game that they needed everything and didn't get it. It's been a while. And last night was an effort that they needed and they got from everybody, Eric.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they vowed all year long that they'd learn lessons from last year in Colorado. And we had every right in Calgary, the fans, the media, to say, yeah, well, we'll believe it when we see it. We've heard this story many, many times before. And you know what? They rewrote the script. They flipped the switch to me about 5 minutes into game two or game three, 1-1 hockey game. And Tucker Pullman had just taken that awful shot to the face. And but for some reason, right after that, just they scored four goals in 7 minutes. One was disallowed. But from that point on, they've dominated this series. And the score was close last night until the empty netters. But that was really what proved to me that they're really buying into their new mantra, that it's defense first and physicality rules all. And I thought one of the most interesting things that came out of the post-game conversations last night with the players and the coach was Mark Giordano's admission that against Colorado, they got run out of the building physically. And they realized that they had to be tougher, and they are tougher with guys like Lucic, and they just play tougher this year. And they would never admit that before. I remember talking to the general manager about why they lost to Colorado, and I suggested that they got intimidated, and he was angry at me. Like, he scoffed at the idea. But I think it was because I hit a sore spot, and he knew that that was the case. So they finally had an admission last night that it was the physicality that they wanted to focus on and not be beaten in the alley. And 2 seconds into the game, when Milan Lucic took the fight from Nathan Beaulieu, it proved my point. It proved the point, you know, that these guys are focused on physicality first and then doing all the smart things away from the puck after that.
Okay, Eric, just a final word on the Winnipeg Jets, because Going into this series, a lot of people, and we'll get to your scorecard in just a little bit, just so you know, from last week, I kept it. What do we know about the Winnipeg Jets besides their media? For the most part, are a bunch of lapdogs from what I read and heard and stuff. But what? Because people are sort of dismissing the Flames' effort against the Jets because the Jets were hurt and this kind of stuff. But they're still an NHL team. They were still, you know, pretty solid, very good goaltender. I mean, where do you come out with the Jets?
I think they're a hell of a hockey team, and I still wasn't convinced the Calgary Flames were going to be able to close them out last night. Depth was an issue. Depth is what helps win you series. They lost two of their three best players. There's no question about it, and that's going to hurt you. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's the storyline. Maybe in Winnipeg, that's the storyline. We just ran out of bodies. But I think that's a bit of a cop-out. I just think that, in the end, Calgary's goalie was better than their goalie. And I don't think people in Winnipeg really want to admit that. And Connor Hellebuck's record going into these playoffs, his last 10 playoff games, he was 2-8. So tack on now another one win. So he's 3-11 in his last 14 playoff games. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a Vezina Trophy winner to me. He is a Vezina Trophy winner. There's no doubt about it. And there's a long history in the NHL of Vezina Trophy winners whose teams never make it past the first round of the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. But, the Calgary Flames, full marks to them for winning this series. This wasn't about the war of attrition. This was about the war of physicality to me. And the Calgary Flames won it hands down. And because of it, they won the series.
It's Eric Francis Fridays for Hyatt Infinity. It's Kelly Kirsch with Eric Francis and Logan Gordon.
What did you make of the line last night, Eric, of Lucic, Dubé, and Bennett that just sort of came out from the start and dominated? We saw it, you know, a bit through training camp, but I mean, if that's not what you got Milan Lucic for, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you know, and all year long, people in Edmonton mocked people in Calgary who said anything nice about Milan Lucic and said, wait till you just wait and see, he'll disappear. Well, you know, they acquired Milan Lucic with an eye on shoring up the one deficiency they had in the playoffs last year, which was physicality, toughness. And there you had it. In the biggest game of their season, he showed up and for exactly the reason they got him. And he fought Beaulieu. Granted, it was Beaulieu's idea, but, forget about the fight for a second. Lucic had three great scoring chances. He had, I think he only had three hits, three shots on goal. I mean, for a third-line guy playing, 14 minutes a night, he contributed significantly. That line was an absolute juggernaut. I just wrote a column on them. I mean, most of my column last night was about that, how incredible that line was. I wrote about him again today because I don't think enough credit went to Sam Bennett for the effort he had last night. Eight hits. That's a monster night. Eight hits is unheard of in the National Hockey League.
Four or five of them were monster hits.
Monster hits. One on Ehlers is the one in particular. I remember what he fanned on a shot and then followed through with a hit. Like, that's, you know, multitasking at its best. Dylan Dubé, his first playoff goal, it's the game winner. He had five high-danger scoring. I'm not an advanced stats guy, but I had to look at it last night. He had five high-danger chances. The Winnipeg Jets' entire team had four. So that tells you a little bit about how potent he was. He had seven shots on goal. He had a breakaway. He was physical. That line's incredible. And don't forget, you know, I wrote about, like I said, Dubé today. After that week off, he missed that first week of training camp 2.0 here. There was some worry that he might not even be able to make this team and play in the playoffs because the coach kept saying they're getting pushed from these kids from the AHL and it's anybody's spot. And they even said, you know, Dubé's behind the eight ball and he's going to have to really show that he can get up to speed quickly. Well, what did he do in that first inter-squad game? Two goals and an assist. And right there, they said, okay, well, we're not worried about Dylan Dubé. That line has been incredible. All three top lines have been phenomenal. The fourth line, you know, they're a fourth line. They're playing 5-6 minutes, no big deal. They're even better with Derek Ryan out there. But this was a full and complete effort. We just haven't seen this from this Calgary Flames hockey team since they won the West last year. And there were all these expectations and hopes. I think what they've done in the last 3 days has get back to that old mojo that they had when they were the best team in the West during the regular season midway through last year.
It's interesting because I remember, I don't remember if I was in on the conversation during Hockey Central with you or not, but I do remember it was either that or a conversation you had with Pat, and you guys were discussing the goaltending, and Eric, well before this, while we were having the discussion of, you know, that it was a 50-50 contest and going into it, you were of the mind that it was Cam Talbot, and that wasn't a question in your mind, and you thought he was the one who deserved to be the starter, and sure enough, he got the night one start, and he makes Jeff Ward look like a genius for putting him in there, because straight up, he out-dueled Connor Hellebuck all series long.
Yeah, and he out-dueled David Rittich. You know, the last couple months of the season, the coach went on record when he named his starter saying that was irrelevant. It was a clean slate once we got back to training camp. And Talbot, you know, was a beast during the layoff, working out every day. He went back to his old goalie coach back in Hamilton. He wanted this so badly. And, you know, I asked him last night about just take a moment to talk about your journey. Like last summer, you were looking for a job. You didn't know if someone was going to give you another chance to be in the National Hockey League after the season or two you had previous. Take stock of where you're at right now. And he said, yeah, absolutely. All I wanted was a chance. And for them to not only have the confidence to sign me, but now here we are in the playoffs to give the confidence to me to start, means the world to him. And he totally repaid them for their allegiance. And, you know, there was never any doubt in my mind Cam Talbot should and would be the starter in the playoffs. I don't get it right very often, but I got that one right. It's reminiscent of last year. I was one of the only people who thought they should start Mike Smith. And they did, and that was the right call there too. But, you know, these coaches have a better feel for it than any of us. But Talbot, to me, given his experience, he's so damn calm back there. And while we watch David Rittich and we love his emotion, that's not what you need in the playoffs from your goaltender. You need the exact opposite. You need an emotionless, calm guy who, no matter what's happening, you can turn back there and know that he's just got all his wits about him and is playing quietly efficient hockey. I didn't think he made a lot of huge saves. Last night he did. But over the series, I didn't think he made a ton of five bellers. But, man, he was just so damn solid the whole time. What is his save percentage? 940 or something? I saw it this morning. Incredible. Just so happy for him because he's such a good guy.
Derek Francis Fridays. Okay, Francis, we're going to just be like your days in Carleton, you know, with the old journalism, you know, class. And we just kind of it's like a midterm sort of thing. You're not getting your final mark yet, but we'll just kind of go through it. Last Friday, you gave us our predictions. So in some games, series.
I got to go. You're
No, good. We're good here. You got a Rogers phone. You'll be fine. New York Rangers, Carolina Hurricanes. Eric Francis took the New York Rangers.
Yeah, and you know what?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, like I said, I don't get it right often. It's funny because after watching that first round, I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina was in the Stanley Cup final. Like, that's how good they looked. I just thought that there was a chance that with their young goalie in New York, they'd have a real chance at an upset, but he didn't even play. So it's not my fault.
Vince Lombardi said there's lots of reasons for losing, but no excuses. So we'll just move on to the next one. We haven't got this one yet, but Columbus, Toronto, you've picked Toronto. You're not looking good there, mister.
No, but Toronto was, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Toronto leading that game at one point?
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0. That's never happened in Leafs history. I've never seen them do that before.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Okay. Well, Montreal, Pittsburgh.
They're still alive.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, you're not wrong there. We'll just keep that open. Montreal, Pittsburgh, you took the Penguins.
Yeah. Who took Montreal in the world? I would love to see it. The 18 Sportsnet people that in their predictions, I would be shocked if any of them took. As a matter of fact, I know not one of the 18 people, the insiders, as they say, took Montreal. So over yet either.
Talk your way out of it. You can try. Islanders, Florida. Okay, got this one right. Yay!
And do you remember me saying that will be the easiest series of all of them?
Yeah, and it kind of was, right?
It's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. The maybe the series that people are sort of forgetting just because it's Arizona and Nashville, but you picked Nashville. You better hope for a comeback, mister.
Yeah, I was dead wrong on that one. It's a lot closer than I thought. You know, obviously Arizona's leading.
Yeah.
You know, Darcy Kuemper returning to his old form. If that's if that's the case, then yeah, they can certainly pull that upset off. But it's not over.
Nope. No, it's not. We'll critique this next week. Chicago, Edmonton. You took the Edmonton Oilers.
Still taking the Oilers. As a matter of fact, I'd wager on that one.
Are you doubling down?
I would double down on that one. I still think the Oilers are going to win that series.
Okay.
Even when they were humiliated in game one, I actually made a wager with one of my colleagues saying that the Oilers would win in five. I still believe that.
Can we?
I don't have a lot of belief in the city of Edmonton, but I have a belief in this team right now, in this series alone.
I have a belief in their 50-50. Can we go sharesies on that? Can you get us a ticket?
I was going to say, put down the money that's going to go on the 50-50 on that, and I'll really get behind you, Francis.
On,
there
Eric.
You go.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, my God.
Fun? And you know what's great is because people in Calgary heard about it because it's all been all the talk of the league. And what's the Calgary Flames lottery? What was it last night? Was it 1.7?
It was 1.7. It's like not chump change. Like, it was not bad.
Yeah.
By
the end of the playoffs, the Calgary Flames will have raised a little bit more money than the Oilers. There's a prediction.
There you go. Okay. Minnesota, Vancouver. You're looking good there. You took Vancouver. But now we get to the final one. Calgary, Winnipeg. You said Winnipeg in four.
So I just want to take you back.
Uh-huh.
My sports, I totally told
our buzzer's broken.
At the end of the day, it's a buzzer. I tried to hedge my bets. In my predictions on sportsnet.ca, I said Flames in five. And then I went on the air and I said Jets in four. I guess I was trying to cover all my bases, but end up losing in every way when you do something like that. So I won't do that again.
So what's your plans for the weekend? What are you working on for sportsnet.ca?
Well, Jeff Ward, to me, you know, the players after the game, when asked, you know, what Jeff Ward has meant to this team and the turnaround that it had when he took over. I could not believe how much the players essentially threw Bill Peters under the bus and just rained praise upon Jeff Ward and talked about how he's made it a fun place to go to the rink again, of course implying that it was no fun to be anywhere near the rink when Bill Peters was around. It just enforced all the rumors and innuendo that we've heard that, you know, the room was miserable under Bill Peters and the boys had no problem sharing that last night. So I'm going to write a column about how you better take that interim tag off of Jeff Ward, even if they lose in the first round. Doesn't matter. After what I heard from the players last night, if you don't take that interim tag off of Jeff Ward, you're going to have a mutiny on your hands next year. I'm sure Brad Treliving is aware of that. I'm sure as soon as this season ends, no matter what happens from now on, they're going to take the interim tag off. But just, it was a very telling moment when the players really gushed about the difference he's made for this team.
Do you think it makes a difference if they do it before the series starts, or does it matter?
No, they're not. They wouldn't do that. That's a distraction in their eyes of management.
Well, Minnesota did it, though. Minnesota did it.
I can't see the Flames following suit. I think it'd be a great move, but you know, it would also show that it seems like a very hasty decision when you do it just because you won a play-in series. You know, he's empowering and he listens to players, and that doesn't always work. Glenn Gullerton was empowering and listened to the players too, but he's clearly got that right balance of discipline and you have to answer to him at the end of the day, but he also takes your feedback and makes every guy feel like their role is important. Those are the exact words of Milan Lucic. And for a third route line guy, I think that's pretty important.
Yeah. Okay, Eric, thanks for having fun with us. Thanks for giving us a bit of sense of what you saw yesterday. And I guess we'll have you back on Monday on Eric Francis show for Horse Racing Alberta. Looking forward to it.
All right, my man, and thank you for not throwing any more questions. I don't want to make any more predictions.
Do you want to hear the buzzer one more time? Okay. Thanks,
sure
Eric.
I'll hear it again soon.
There we go. Thanks, pal.
Cheers, boys.
Yeah, there we go. Cheers. Eric Francis Friday is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination. Own one, and you'll understand. Hyatt Infinity on Luxury Lane. Empower the drive. We'll take a break and hear from Elliot Friedman, another hockey insider, right here on Hockey Central at noon.